each and every one this morning, and we do give everyone a warm welcome into our service. Praise God. And don't forget, our brother Brian comes this week. There'll be no service on the Wednesday, but we begin service Friday night, 7:30, Tully Leash Orange Hall. Saturday night, here in Scarborough Orange Hall. Then our two services on Sunday, praise God. And also, just to say, our brother Nathan will be preaching in Market Hill this Thursday night, brother, isn't that right? Thursday night, if you're free, go along and hear this young brother. It's good to see young men called to preach and that want to preach and want to go forward for God. It's a real blessing to see it. And one day you're a young fella, and then the next day you're an older fella. And I'm telling you, the time goes fast. And you think what you'll do, and if you sit long enough, you'll do nothing. But God wants us to go forward.
Amen.
Go forward. The fields are white unto the harvest. Pray ye for the Lord of the harvest, that God will send laborers, and we need laborers to go forward. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Not everybody's going to be a prophet or an apostle or an evangelist, but whatever God's calling you to do, do it.
Amen.
Go forward and do it with all your might, praise God. Also, we heard last night that Brother Ian led two more people to the Lord, and I think that's wonderful. The woman and her son, we give God all the glory. Praise God, isn't it great that people's getting saved? Praise God. We just thank the Lord for that this morning. Let us turn to 1 Corinthians, and Gary's already prayed for some of the younger ones that are sick this morning. My two boys are not too well, and there's other ones as well. Just keep them in prayer, and also, maybe this morning, there's some people need prayer, and we're going to be praying at the end of the service. I'll try not to be too long this morning. I want to continue again about these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let us read from verse 13 down. And I want to say in opening, the gift of the Holy Spirit are absolutely vital.
Amen.
In the church. Vital.
Amen.
Not important, vital.
Glory.
Absolutely vital.
Thank you, Jesus.
Essential.
Amen.
For the body of Jesus Christ. Many people do not believe in gifts. As I was praying this morning and waiting on the Lord, I have thought back that time. You might even remember it when I preached about the evangelists, the pastors, the apostles and all. We got into trouble in one service. Somebody thought I was preaching against them. But I was not. That was just the devil that let them think that. But when I studied the apostles, if I was to ask you how many apostles are there, you would say 12. I would say you're right, but I can count another 13 on top of the 12. And prove it from the Word of God. 26 that I know of. So when people say it ceased with the 12, what would you do with them other 13? And Paul's one of them.
Amen.
12 apostles that Jesus called. How many knows that? Then another 13 in the New Testament. And when I went back and looked at that, and you see prophets as well, there's a lot of them.
Yes.
In the New Testament, a lot. And I tell you, so God never finished with the 12. He was just starting.
Right.
That's how I look at it. The book of Acts says all that Jesus began must be continued, not stopped. Let's read verse 13. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray in the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding also. Else when thou comest to bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? And thou give him the thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well, but others is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words from my understanding, that my voice might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. And the Lord has written with men of other tongues and other lips, will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, for them that believe. Therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, with them that say that you're mad. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus the secrets of the heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you have a psalm, have a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or three at the most, not at the same time either. Or you'll not know what's been said. I want you to listen to this. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. Now, it's not completely opposite to what many of us have been taught. Don't judge of what a prophet says. Who's going to be honest about the Bible here this morning? This Bible says you're to judge it.
Amen.
If a man gives a prophecy, you are to judge it. Don't swallow it down. Oh.
Amen. Glory.
Because sometimes it could choke you.
That's right.
Judge it.
Glory.
How? With the Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible tells you how to do it. Look, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. One at a time. Now and then, one at a time, and they can have their turn. And if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let him first hold his peace. For ye all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. The spirit come on me and force me, and I couldn't help it. No. That's not true. The prophet can control it. If he can't, it's not the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It can be controlled. You can give it or not give it. You'll hear men saying at a message and they never give it. They could have had. That's true. Because the Bible says it here. Amen. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. So also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husband at home, for it is shame for a woman to speak in church. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the Word of God. We thank you that we can come boldly into your presence because of the new and living way through the precious blood of the Lamb. Father, I would ask this morning in the name of Jesus Christ that you would pour out your Holy Spirit amongst us, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the snow. Grant wisdom in this house in Jesus' name. Lord, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every work of the devil. I cast down all reasoning and vain imagination in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, even as the brothers have already prayed, for all the children and those that need your touch, may they be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for any that couldn't be here this morning, bless them. Strengthen them and be with them. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Praise God. Now keep your Bible in Corinthians, but I want to just turn quickly to the book of Acts. And we quote Acts 2.38, but I'm going to quote Acts 2.39. And Acts 2.39, I want you to mark it in your Bible. Acts 2.39 says, "For the promise is unto you, unto your children, unto them that is afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Mark verse 39. If you're here and you're saved, God called you. You cannot come if God didn't call you. It is the Lord that called you. We heard last Sunday night, He's a good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and the sheep hear Him, and the sheep know Him, and He's known of them. They know Him and He knows them. Didn't Jesus say, "As my Father sent me, so send I you"? So the promise of the Holy Spirit is not just to them on the day of Pentecost, but the promise of the Holy Spirit is to every single one God will call. Now I want to make it clear, you do not have to speak in tongues. Everybody does not have to talk in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. I believe that's for some of the Pentecostal churches made it a doctrine. They said we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence, the supernatural evidence of speaking in tongues. They are right. It is a supernatural evidence, but it's not the initial evidence. What if another man prophesied? Has he not got it? He has got it. So you can't put God in a box and say, "Our Lord, sister so-and-so never spoke in tongues and she hasn't the Holy Spirit. John Wesley had the Holy Ghost. Martin Luther had the Holy Ghost. All these men had the Holy Spirit." Amen. Some of them never spoke in tongues, but they definitely had the Holy Ghost. Amen. William Tyndale definitely had the Holy Ghost. And he wrote the Bible. I just got it the other day. A fella said to me, "Tyndale never wrote the Bible." Well, he did. Not all of it, but a brave part of it. And your King James is from the Tyndale Bible. How many knows that? 1611, then after that, the King James. And I thank God for a man like William Tyndale.
Amen.
But the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and listen to this, let me read you this. The Holy Spirit speaking out, and it gives interpretation, it tells certain people certain things to do, and each one knows when it strikes you, you'll know it's talking to you. It's good to see that it ain't human beings, it's God and the human being that's doing its work greatly. We sure thank the Lord for it. And I begin to notice, and this is William Branham taught him at Charles Fuller's church, that the Holy Ghost was working in that church. The old-fashioned revival, great man, he says, not long ago, he said, "We have the speaking in tongues interpretation right here, right in Long Beach." And that's true, I preached right there many times, so they have interpretation and make everybody sit quiet. So when the Holy Spirit is speaking, there has to be reverence to the gift. If Brother Idris speaks and I talk over him, you'll not know what he's saying. There has to be reverence to the gift. Also, when the interpretation of tongues come, if all of us speak over it, nobody will know what's said. You won't hear it. There has to be a reverence for the gifts, but we believe in gifts. We need the gifts. Quite frankly, I'm going to make a statement. If you don't have gifts in your church, you're not a New Testament church. That's what I believe. How many agrees with that? The gifts should be in the church. But there has to be an order with the gifts. A woman's not permitted to get up here and preach from a pulpit. Bible forbids it. But if the Spirit falls on her, she can operate tongues. She could operate prophecy. How many knows that there was a man in the Bible with seven daughters and there were prophets? Prophetesses. Seven of them. The Bible talks about it. You say, "I don't know where the Spirit of a fallen woman." Well, you better read the book of Joel and you better read again the book of Acts, for it says it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit in all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens I will pour out of my Spirit. A woman can't take up a fivefold ministry A pastor, an evangelist, or a teacher, not scriptural, but the Spirit could come on her and she could operate tongues and interpretation, but you can't be a minister.
Right.
Now, there's lots of places have them, that's all right. The Lord bless them, I'm not worried about that, but it's not scriptural.
That's right.
Because God made the man the head, not the woman.
Glory.
And Christ the head of the man. And the man's the head of the wife. That's why also that a woman shouldn't cut her hair off. For the Bible says her hair is her glory.
Right.
And if she cuts her hair off, she dishonors her head, which is her husband.
Right.
It's like the church spiritually stripping off these gifts and stuff. They've done it.
Right.
It's sad to say, many of the denominations, and the magic ones included, don't believe in gifts. Now, it's recorded, I'm making no apologies for these statements. The message churches today, very few of them operate the gifts of Spirit. They teach the same as a group I belong to 40 years ago taught. When that which is perfect has come, that which in part is done away with. And they said we have the full Bible, therefore we don't need the gifts of Spirit. But the Bible, look, when that which is perfect has come, how many knows that's Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now we know the Bible is the Word of God. But there's nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says do away with the gifts. Nowhere.
Amen.
Paul says that forbid not to speak with tongues. But yet people say they believe Paul's message and they stand in a pulpit and they say we've the gifts on the shelf, we don't need them. So they've done the opposite to what Paul said. They're not preaching Paul's message. It's against the word, Antichrist. It must be all the word of God. Not just a wee bit that suits an organization, but the whole thing. So if one denomination's wrong because they don't believe it, because another one goes under a more modern name, doesn't make it right either. It's wrong as well. But we believe the prophet, that's good, but do you believe the things he said? They're according to this Bible.
Amen.
He didn't take us away from the book, he brought us back to it. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. God wants us, what happens is, here's what happens. What do you call your waste boy? Jonah. When Jonah started to walk, there's no way he could have walked all around here when he started. How many knows he couldn't have? But he could have went from the chairs at the start with. But Gary didn't take him and say, now Jonah, I'll tell you what, sit you in that chair for another 2 years until you can walk right now and let you walk. Did he do that? No, he didn't do that. He let him practice. Oh, he's following me here.
Amen.
He let him alone to practice. Because practice makes perfect. And you'll never operate gifts if you don't get at them.
Right.
And if you have a pope at the front that stops it as soon as it moves, because maybe everything wasn't just the way he thought it should be, how are you ever going to mature it?
Right.
Amen.
Just like that wee fella. He goes about from them chairs, but this morning he doesn't need them. He can walk about all right because he's mature. And the gifts, many times the gifts, when they start out, maybe it's not everything just the way it should be, and people say, that's it then, throw it out.
Yes.
I've seen it happen. But God wants the gifts. Now you notice that tongues and interpretations equal to prophecy. And prophecy can reveal the secrets of the heart. And you know, when something that nobody knows about and the Holy Spirit speaks it, that's God.
Amen.
That'll help somebody.
Amen.
That's what the gifts are for.
Amen.
And we thank God for the gifts.
Amen.
Now, there's a way to operate the gifts, but we don't want gifts stopped. We want them operating.
Amen.
You see, if you don't want gifts, you can loads of churches that don't have any. Near everywhere. Nearly everywhere. Let's be honest about it. There's very few places, and I've been the world around, where they operate gifts properly. Very few, but there is genuine gifts. I can guarantee you that. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even in these meetings over the years, different individuals have operated gifts that has been right. And they've happened. And they've come to pass. And we thank God for that. And even last week, there were things revealed. People here wouldn't have knew about it, and the Lord revealed it, and it was right. Yeah. And people here would knew nothing about it. But the people that it concerned knew.
Amen.
They knew. So don't be quick to say it's wrong when it could be right. That's why you need discernment of spirits as well.
Yes.
You're to discern the spirits. Judge these things. Whether they're of God or not. You could go somewhere, and when my father tells his own testimony, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying, but when you go back all them years ago, and this man gave a prophecy over him, but it was different than the other prophecies he got, because it was false. Now I remember one time I was in America, and the Lord had spoke to me, that he'd called me. You know the story with James McConnell, it was prophetic. He's picked me out of 2,000 people, and told me my whole life, told me the Lord had called me. Brother Bobby was right beside me, and he knows it's the truth. Amen. How could that man know that? That I was facing jail. How could he know it? How could he say the angel of the Lord will be with you in jail in a very special way? How could he make them statements? And it came to pass.
Amen.
How could a woman that came from the far sides of the earth over to a house in Ireland prophesy and say you'll go to the darkness continents of Africa and Asia to the further ends of the earth? That's New Zealand. You can't go no further. As far as your map goes out, I've been there 4 times. Brother John's been as well. How could it happen? It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But yet, when I got to America, there was a man, but he was influenced by women. It's dangerous when you're influenced by women. I'm serious. You're the head.
Amen.
He was influenced, and he prophesied over me, Brother Tom, the Lord would say unto you, you're to carry these women's babes. I just yielded to him. I said, God bless you, brother. Surely. I carried the babes. But you see, everywhere we went, I was asked to preach none of them. So much so, that every single place we went, and we traveled for 6 months, we were preaching almost every night. It got so bad, people never asked them, they kept asking me, that they fell out of me. And they wanted to know why I was going to ask, and they weren't going to ask. Now, I traveled with women preachers, and I know what I'm talking about. And I am telling you in this room this morning, and God's my witness, I was supernaturally visited with the same visitation that came to me in the jail. And God spoke to me and showed me the scriptures that a woman's not called to preach. And when I announced it, I can tell you what the boxing gloves come out. Literally. Them women was cross. They were ready to fight. And one of them even closed her fist to hit me and everything. And you know, I'm telling you, because gifts are genuine. One of them women, the night before I had a vision and I saw demons, and they took this one woman over. I saw it all happen and it took place. I sat at a table in Czechoslovakia. There they sat at the table. I announced to you, remember, I had just announced, I'm finished with this. I'm not traveling with these women no more because God has told me separate. Separate from this work till another I'll show thee. The same voice that spoke to me in the jail. Supernatural voice. Supernatural visitation. I had to do it. What else can I do? And there I was by myself. And they took all the money, the whole lot, and I was left with nothing. And I'm sitting at this table in Czechoslovakia. And there they're sitting around the table, all in check. And what they give me was nobody's business. Now I know some of you have probably read about a time or two, but it was nothing compared to what these give me. They give me the works, but I heard it all in English.
Amen.
And as we come out of the house, I told one young woman, I says, I know everything what you said about me. She said, that's impossible. Nobody in the room spoke one word in English. I says, but I know it all. She says, it's impossible. I says, God let me hear it in English. She says, all right, smarty, you tell me what was said. And I told her, and she fell on her knees on the stairwell and wept and said, it's all true. And I said, well, hear this. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, I'll depart from this house now and shake the dust from off my foot. Just like the Bible. And that same presence said to me, you will not go into Russia. And he said, when they go into Russia, they'll be arrested and they'll have trouble. Thou shalt not go to Russia, is what he said. Somebody else wants to go ahead, I'm not going. And I'd never go unless the Lord came and told me to go. I wouldn't go yet. Not to this day would I go. And I tell you, they went and they were arrested. The vehicle broke, the wheels flew off it, everything went wrong. You have to do what God tells you. The gifts of Spirit's real. God spoke to a man here at home, I think it was Brother John, and he said that the Lord would let me go into Russia. Also in the meetings back in the house meeting, they said I had no money, I was stranded, and they raised money for my fare to come home. That's the truth. The gifts of the Spirit are real. Don't be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, many people say the gifts finished with the 12 apostles, but what about the other 13 apostles? I tell you something, I love that one. I studied it out, and I found every one of them. And you know there's two of them unnamed. Now I'm going to ask you the question, who is the chiefest apostle of all?
Jesus Christ.
Many remembers when I preached that. He wasn't with the 12 either, but the Bible calls him an apostle. It's dangerous, isn't it? When you go get the word of God, it's wonderful. Isn't God's word real? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are real.
Amen.
I could write a book on things that God's told me through gifts. I'll tell you another story. This is an absolute truth. A man came into my room. He began to speak in tongues and prophesied over me. And he said, thus saith the Lord today when you go. You'll be a minister. What do you think that's a prophecy? Only the word of God. Getting better all the time, isn't it? And there'll be a wee man with him, and he'll bring a young girl with him. And the two of them will do your best, their best, to get you to go out with that young girl. Stay clear. What do you think of that? Huh? How could you mix that one up? 2 hours later, I arrived at a church in Bond Bridge to help a man out. You know who I'm talking about. There the man arrived in the white car with the young girl, and the whole thing was set. But it was a bit late. I just said, no. Simple as that. Doesn't impress me that it looks good, but it mightn't be God.
Right.
All that glitters is not gold.
Amen.
You have to know God's will. And I want to say to you, young men, that God's calling and God's working on. Don't take somebody else's word for it. God can speak to you.
Amen.
And you'll know it.
Amen.
You'll know without a doubt, and you'll know without a question. God can speak to you. Yield yourself to the Lord. Wait upon the God for the power of God to come in your life. For the Holy Spirit to anoint you. And all these gifts and all these things are for one reason and one purpose. That's to glorify Jesus Christ, that people might get saved. That's what it's all for.
Amen.
Now go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10. I want you to make a list in your Bible of these 9 gifts. Now I really mentioned a lot of these things Wednesday night, but I told you on Wednesday night I will preach it again. And I mightn't even finish with this. I don't know anywhere else that's preaching about gifts and preaching about the book of Corinthians. They seem to have all stopped. You go on any of these sites and you'll never hear it mentioned. Modern events, that's all good. All them things are good. All them, I believe in all them things. That's not my ministry, but I believe in them things. But the best thing to prepare people is the Holy Ghost. Amen. The best Bible college you can get is in your own bedroom.
Amen.
And get baptized with the power of God and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's the college you need.
Yes,
in your own secret place.
Amen.
And wait on God. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, mark it. To another the word of knowledge, mark it, by the same spirit. To another faith, by the same spirit. To another the gifts of healing, by the same spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. We thank God for tongues. We thank God for interpretation of tongues. Now, let me go back to what I read at the start, what Paul's saying. What Paul is saying, if Paul was here this morning preaching in this assembly, Paul wouldn't come up here and start to preach to you in an unknown tongue. There'd be no point. Paul would preach to you in English, like I'm preaching to you. Because if he spoke to you in tongues and he didn't interpret it, it's no use to you. But that still doesn't do away with the fact there is a gift of tongues. And Paul explains that. And Paul says, if there's tongues, let it be by pure faith the most. So if he doesn't believe in them, why did he say let it be by pure faith the most?
Right.
He believes in them. And they must be interpreted. And you saw, I mentioned it the other week, tongues will charge you to speak in a tongue yourself, whether you're praying in private. Maybe somebody can overhear you, can't get excited. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't stop it.
Amen.
I'd rather have it as nothing.
Amen.
You know, a fellow went to Ian Paisley once. And he said, Brother Paisley, I need to talk to you. And he says, all right, brother. And he took him to the side and he says, there's a fellow and he's making an awful noise in our prayer meetings.
Amen.
And he's praying, and I never hear praying like it, Ian. You need to talk to him and get him stopped. And Ian Paisley says, I'll do no such thing. If it took him long enough to get started, and I'm not stopping him.
Amen. All right.
That's what Paisley told him. You know, Ian Paisley, the power of God fell on Ian Paisley. And he waited all night. An old woman I met in Belfast told me the whole history of it. He waited the whole night, God, and the power of God fell on him. But as soon as he got amongst the rest of them, they tried to get him calmed down.
Yes.
They thought he had turned into a Pentecostal. He was close to them. And they wanted to get him calmed down.
Yes.
I remember in his old services, when he used to come down, I remember I was in one myself when I was a young fella. And he came down, marching down the middle of the pews, and he shouted, Hallelujah. And a woman in the front near passed out. I was there. There was a bit of fire with
him.
Because he waited on God and God visited them. But what happens when people wait on God? You have some old boy around the corner to squash it out with a bucket of water to quench the fire. But the man I tell you, we want the real fire of God.
Yes.
The real fire of God that will change lives. The real fire of God that when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, people in the seats will quake.
Amen.
And they'll turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Every one of us need it.
Right.
The real power of God in our lives.
Amen.
So here's your nine gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All these should be in the body of Jesus Christ. Now the body's not a church here or there. Them's denominational lodges.
Yes.
The body's a firstborn of the Lord.
Amen.
Baptized into one body by one spirit. That's the real body. That's why we're not a denomination. We're not. We shouldn't be. God's called us us out of denominationalism into Christ, into the Word. A real believer should have fruit as well as gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:13, verse 1 to 2. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, and have not charred become a sound brass or tinkling cymbal. If you can have all the gifts you want, but if you don't have a bit of love for your brother or your sister, what do you say?
That's right.
You must love each other.
Glory.
Love your brother, love your sister.
Amen.
Go the extra mile for them.
That's right.
You know, a fellow once said to me one time, he said, "Have you anything about the house you like well?" I says, "Not that much, but maybe a couple of things." He says, "Give them away tonight." I said, "What?" He says, "Give them away tonight. If you show them the house that you really cherish, what would you do if God told you to give it to someone? Would you be willing to do it?" Will God give everything he had? He gave Jesus Christ on the cross.
Amen.
Give us all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I tell you what would happen if God said, "Give away the thing you love the most." God challenged Abraham with that.
Amen.
"Will you give Isaac?" He says, "I will." He was willing to do it. God wants willing hearts. Praise God. "Though of the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could move mountains and have not love, I'm nothing." God wants us to love each other. This is the most important thing. This is the last commandment. Everybody can quote the 12, the 10. How many knows the 11th? Jesus gave it. Jesus Christ said, "I give unto you a new commandment." The 11th. Love one another. That's the 11th commandment. You know it now? The 11th commandment. Love each other. We can have all gifts and all the things, but if we don't love our own brother, how can we say we're going to preach to strangers and show them love?
Amen. Absolutely.
We need to have the love of God in our hearts, the real love of God. You remember when Jacko Jr. came here and he said he wanted a fat boy, Harley Davidson. And his wife said to him, "Jack, catch yourself on. Why do you want it?" Jeff will know them things as bikes. He says, "Why do you want a fat boy Harley Davidson?" He says, "I just want one." And this fella rang him up one day and he said, "Are you Jack Cohen?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've got a Harley Davidson for you." He said, "What colour is it?" Told him, he says, "What make is a fat boy?" I don't know what all that means like, but anyhow. He said, "I've got two for you." And he gave them to him. And he says, then God spoke to him. He got these two bikes home and all. Wife said, "Jack, you're not going to ride them. My boy's you sort of thing. What do you want with them?" He says, "I've wanted one for years and I've got them." God spoke to him that night and said, "Jack, give them two bikes away." And he says, he spent the rest of the week rebuking the devil.
Yes.
Spent the whole week rebuking the devil. Because he said, "It could have been God." But he says, "I've actually given them two bikes away." And he said 3 months later, he had five of them. Five of them. And you say, "But why did God give him five?" I don't know, ask God.
That's right.
But he was obedient to give two away. Would you give someone away if God asked you? People talk about doing things for God. People talk about being sincere with God. But if God said to you this morning, "Give it away," would you do it? I tell you, that would test, wouldn't it? There is people who would do it. There's people who would give the very shirt of their back. Jesus Christ give us all.
Amen.
Jesus gave everything he had. And he said, "The foxes have holes, the birds have their nest, but the Son of Man's nowhere to lay his head."
Right.
What are we willing to give this morning? What are we willing to give to God? You know what God wants more than anything? Our time. God wants us to give time to him in prayer. This is for me as well as you. It's for every one of us.
Amen.
And I tell you, there's only one secret. That's waiting on God.
Right.
There's no preacher can give you a secret or a menu or a lodge or an organization that'll make you superior or better preacher. There's only one secret. That secret's the upper room.
Right.
That's the blueprint of the church. That's what Jesus says, "Tarry ye. Tarry ye.
That's right.
You shall be endued with power." We're in God. And you'll be endued with power. 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. So have charity, but desire spiritual gifts. It doesn't go over the top and throw them out. But rather that ye may prophesy. Desire spiritual gifts. Preaching's a type of prophesying. How many knows that? Now there's three supernatural occurrences that are to take place in the last days as a result. The outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I know I say this all the time. You mark it in your Bible. Acts 2:17. Go to Acts 2:17. Mark it. Three things that take place. You said, brother, it happened years ago. You weren't back there. You need it now. I need it now. I appreciate what God done. When you go around the 1900 century, there's a friend of mine who wrote a book about it. It's coming out soon. It's a powerful, detailed book. Keith Malcolm's doing it. It's from 1900 when the power of God fell in England. Oh, we think just the Sousa Street. Oh, no. Oh, no. God moved in other places as well as earth. How many knows that? Now, we know it started in the Sousa Street, but God moved in many other places as well. And this brother does a tremendous research into it. There's a book, if you want a book, get that one. And I tell you, God moved them. People sort of tell us like God done nothing, and England's dead, and God's... Don't you listen to that type of stuff. The Jeffrey brothers were used of God in England in a mighty, mighty way. And I met two women that were in their meetings, and them women was both in their 80s when I met them. John Noble's wife's aunties were. And they said it was outstanding. They said the power of God came in the meetings. And people were getting saved in the hundreds.
Amen.
In them meetings. People were getting healed. Deaf people were hearing. Blind people were seeing. Mutes, born mutes spoke. People got out of wheelchairs. And the power of God fell. That's a real meeting.
Amen.
Don't restrict God to some organization.
Right.
God's not restricted. He's Hebrews 13 and 8, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. How many knows we're in the last days? We are living in the last of the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. These are the three things God's promised to do in the last days. Prophesying, seeing visions, and dreams. These are things promised. You know, if you told somebody today I had a dream, they wouldn't even believe it. Do you know that? They wouldn't even believe it. But the Bible says it. If you were to just preach on the dreams, sometimes somebody should do it. If you took this Bible and you just preached on the dreams, who's ever heard? Guarantee you've never heard nobody preach that. If you just took this book and preached about the dreams, you'd be preaching for a long time. How many knows I'm telling the truth? The dreams that God gave people in this book would last you a long time preaching. God visited Joseph in a dream. God used Joseph to interpret dreams. God in the beginning. There's so many. You know, Joseph could even interpret a dream that he never heard and he never dreamed.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Amen.
And you know, William Morion brought him with the same gift. He could tell you what you dreamed without you telling him. And he could tell you the interpretation of it. I hear people and they try to interpret people's dreams. Don't do that. You can interpret somebody's dream and you might not be right. I've heard people bring interpreting stuff out of dreams and it wasn't right. If a dream is of God, it'll speak. Now, there's men who could interpret it. I'm not saying nobody could do it. There is people who could do it. But you'll know it when it's God. How many believes that? Right through the whole Bible. The dreams. What about visions? Well, what about the man that saw a vision is to go and pray for Paul?
Right.
The whole instructions, God as well showed Paul a vision, because remember, he's blind at this point after his visitation. Paul the apostle met the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus. Here's another thing. People say that the days of the apostolic faith finished after the 12, because no one after that point actually met with Jesus. Well, that's a lie. Don't you believe that? Because if you haven't met with Jesus, you're lost. I'll tell you that to start with. And if you want the physical part, all right. When Paul's on the road to Damascus and the bright light shone and he fell down on his horse and he's blinded and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus." So who did he meet with? Who did he meet with? Jesus. Says, "I am Jesus." So he met with Jesus. And God sent him and he was blind. And he goes in the man. How many knows it? That there's a man already God's working on in a vision to tell him that Saul, before his name was changed to Paul, he's coming. You're going to pray for him. And here's another thing. Here's another point. He met the pillar of fire. He met with Jesus. And he's still having the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Will you hear me? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Paul met the pillar of fire. Paul met with Jesus. The Lord's called him. The Lord sent him. And he still hasn't got the baptism. You say he had, brother. No, he hadn't. Let's go over to chapter 9. How many knows what chapter it's in? Maybe it's not 9. Chapter 10. And there was a certain man at Caesarea called Cornelius, and a certain, chapter 10 of Acts, of the band called the Italian man, a devout man, one feared God. Now listen. And he saw a vision every day, at the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he said, "What is it that, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before me. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who lodgeth in the house." Verse 7, and the angel which spake on the Cornelius was departed and called two households. So here's another case. How many knows the scripture we're talking about, Paul?
Chapter 9, verse 10.
Praise God. Thanks, brothers. Chapter 9, verse 10. Luke, verse 9. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. I'm deliberately reading that. Paul is 3 days with no eyesight. He has neither eaten nor drank in 3 days. He's just met the pillar of fire. And he still hasn't got the Holy Ghost. I've heard people say that Saul the light man have got it. No. No. You have to have an experience according to this Bible. Seeing something that comes to somebody else won't do for you.
Amen.
You need your own encounter.
Amen.
Now let's read this verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." He's met with Jesus. Now this man persecutes the church. He holds the coat of those that stone Stephen. He's met the pillar of fire. He's met Jesus. And he's blind. And watch what God's doing for him. And I've seen in the vision a man named Ananias. So Paul sees Ananias, and Ananias sees Paul. God's working at both ends. Go down to verse 13. And Ananias answered and said, "Lord, I heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saints of Jerusalem, and there he had authority from the chief priests to bind all that call in your name. Verse 15, but the Lord said, go in thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentile kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus hath appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, have sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Man said to me one time, you can't go until the angel comes. This is what he preached to the church. He said to me, you can't come until you've met the angel and he sees you and we're all waiting. I said to him, I'm not a man. Says to me, a man, said it.
Where do you meet him?
Say, I met him in jail. I says, you're in trouble. You've never met him yet, but I have. And I just said it. He wasn't in trouble, but I just said it because he was preaching a doctrine. He preached a doctrine that an angel must come and seal you. It's the Holy Ghost that seals you. Paul met the pillar of fire. Paul experiences so many things, but this man lays hands on him and the Holy Ghost comes on him. And fills him. Now you see.
Glory.
How do you know when you see where the Bible saying you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians? Whereby you're sealed by the Holy Ghost unto the day of your redemption. The Holy Spirit seals you. Praise God. Let me read this again. Verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou comest, has sent me that thou mayest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, stop for a moment. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit hadn't already moved on him. Because
mm-hmm. Right.
It had.
Right.
This is where people make a mistake. They say the Holy Spirit's never moved in yet. That's wrong. That's nonsense.
Amen.
He has.
Yes.
The fact you're seeing, the Spirit's already moved on
Amen.
You. You couldn't be saved if it didn't.
Amen.
The Spirit already moved on you to get saved. But been filled is another thing. Been baptized is another thing. And the Spirit has moved in Saul. And Saul's did everything. So far the Lord's commanded him. Now remember, after this experience, he's starting to have visions and everything already. The supernatural accompanies
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It accompanies it.
Glory.
The supernatural accompanies the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
People say, we received the Holy Spirit, but there was no supernatural. It's not, that's all right. But in the Bible, it always accompanied it.
That's right.
How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
You can't read me where there's nothing accompanies it. Everywhere the Holy Spirit moves, something happens. Because
right.
It's supernatural. God's supernatural. Look at verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Now there's nowhere in the whole Bible, nowhere after Matthew 28, nowhere after that, when they do the little baptizing, do they call three titles? Nowhere. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to do it like that. In the name of the Father, who's he? The Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Son, who's he? Thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Amen.
You see? Father's a title. Son is a title. You go down to the bank next week, and if you have a joint account, sign Father and Son on it, you'll not get a penny. They're looking the name. You have to sign the name of the check. If you don't sign the name, you'll never cash it. Jesus said, do it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
That's the Bible. Now I'm closing. Look, the time's gone. I'm just closed. If I go on, I would go on, but I'm not going to go on. You enjoying the Word of God?
Amen.
Remember, I didn't say everything I planned to say. That doesn't matter. I found the Lord wanted us to go to that scripture. You see, what I want to say this morning, and to use young people especially, as the same for myself, for the circles I've been around, people can say things because they've been taught it as an opinion, but this here's the absolute.
Amen.
It must come back to this book. And if it's not in this book, then it doesn't really count. But thank God the gifts of the Holy Spirit are in this book. How many know Jesus spoke in tongues?
Amen.
He said he did? Yes. To laugh the cooper, child arise. Eli, Eli, Sabbathani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Tongues are real. I've heard people mock tongues. I've heard preachers belittle tongues. One famous preacher in this country called tongues tripe. That's a cow's belly. You know tripes for feeding dogs. I had a lot of friends and they fed a lot of tripe to dogs and said to me, would you not feed it to your dogs? And I said, no, it's garbage. I've been serious about this. I know a lot of dog people, they feed tripe, never fed it. Kept dogs for years, never fed it. If you want to give them worms, if you want your dogs to have worms, feed them tripe. I guarantee they'll have worms. Short time. But to call that the Holy Spirit, that's bad work. That is dangerous work. To call a gift of the Spirit of God and talk like that. And yet a man could be a fine preacher. But you know that Jesus warned us. He said that all manner of sin will be forgiven except a word spoken against the Holy Ghost. And William Branham said, this is the age where that happens. One word spoken against it. And you know Jesus said a little while, and the world saith me no more, but yet ye shall see me.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. Ye shall see me. If I'll be with you and even in you to the end of the world. We certainly believe in the Holy Spirit. Let us stand. My brothers are going to just play something softly. If people want prayer. We just thank God. We appreciate the gifts of God. How many appreciates the gifts?
Amen.
Thank God for the gifts. You want the gifts. And young men, they use gifts. And I want to say this as well. I just feel led to say this. Don't feel under an obligation that every service there must be some type of a gift manifest. People years ago did that many times. And then they got to a stage where they thought, well, we didn't have a meeting because there was no gift. If the Spirit of God wants to move, let the Spirit of God move. But you don't work it up. Let the Spirit of God move. Let God use you in it, if you understand what I'm saying. And yield yourself to God. And the Lord will bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you for the word of God. It's yea and amen in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I pray if I've said anything amiss or out of place, you'll forgive me. I ask, Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit will help each one of us to follow your word and your instructions. Help us to have love for each other. Forgive us, Lord, for anything that's displeasing in your sight. Cleanse us in the precious blood of the Lamb. I earnestly pray for these young men in this service that you will fill them with the Holy Spirit in such a wonderful way that they might experience the same experience that Paul the Apostle experienced. May the power of God come on them. And may they know the touch of God in their lives. Lord, for people that need your touch in this room, let the Holy Spirit touch your people once again. Bind the works of the enemy. We rebuke every spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ,
hallelujah.
We ask for perfect liberty in the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Father, bless those that's been witnessing for you. Thank you for the soul that's been saved. How we praise you, Lord. Amen. That new names is written as we know they're there, but you know what they mean, Lord. The angels rejoice that sinners coming home. Amen. And he that winneth souls is wise. Bless our brother, we pray. In the name of Jesus. Help every one of us, Lord, be soul winners for you. Help us, Lord, we pray. And Father, if anyone comes this morning, may the Spirit of God really touch them.
Hallelujah.
May they get what they come for, Lord. Lord, block away every distraction of the devil. Every fear. You haven't given us a spirit of fear and of torment, but of love and of truth and not of a sound mind. Father, grant it in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise God. Let's just be reverent. A brother's going to sing something. And I know there's one brother wants prayer, and I'm going to ask him to come. And I'm going to ask the elders to come. I'm going to pray for a brother. And anoint him with oil, and then the elders can let them do that in the Bible way. And we just want to do it the way God says. And if anyone else wants prayer, I want you to come as well. If any sick amongst you, let them call the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, the prayer for you will save the sick. And if they've committed sins, they shall be forgiven, and the Lord will raise them up. Praise God.
Thank you.
thing as a man doth behold. But I say unto thee, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.
Amen.
And I say unto thee that I have the keys. And I say unto thee, be not afraid, neither be afraid of the enemy. Lift thine eyes up unto me,
yes.
For I am thy provider, and I am thy healer, and I am thy deliverer, and I am thy sustainer. For many have looked on me, and they have thought that you are strange in some ways, but I say unto thee that I will lead thee, and I will guide thee.
Yes,
therefore fear not what man doth think.
Oh, Jesus.
Now I take it in thy heart for to try to please man. For I say unto thee, thou shalt set thy heart on thy face towards me. And as thou seek to please me and to think over things that I have prepared for thee, I will cause the desires of thy heart to come to pass. And I will cause thee to walk before me. Therefore I will anoint thy ears, that thou mightest hear, that thou mightest understand, that thou mightest know the revelation from the living God, that thou mightest know that I am he that ruleth in the hearts of men, that thou mightest know that it is I that setteth up whom I will and putteth down whom I will. For I say unto thee, I shut, and no man can open, and I open, and no man can shut. For I am thy deliverer, I am thy healer, I am thy savior, I am thy provider. Therefore, fear not.
Demons.
Oh, thank you.
Lord, Hallelujah.